Good day, Dan here. I have some very sad news about episode 140 of The Tech Show. We had a mishap somewhere along the way and lost over probably about good two-thirds of this episode to the bit bucket in the sky. For some reason, right around the time when my daughter kicked over the wireless access downstairs and Lincoln Allen lost connectivity, when I went down to go check it out, Audacity, either I must have bumped it or it crashed on my PowerBook over there running under Ubuntu, and didn't notice it until the end of the show. And when I realized that, hey, it's not running anymore. So about 100 minutes into the show, and that includes pre-show stuff, we lost all that. And we do have a backup recording, and wouldn't you know it, today's the day that the hard drive on that backup recording was filled to capacity. So we lost that, too. Not a good thing. If anybody out there happens to have a recording of the stream, you know, and you can let me know and send it to me, I can piece together what we lost and recover episode 140. But otherwise, we're just going to have to repeat the content some other time down the road. What did you miss? Some really good stuff, actually. My wife was on, and she had a special announcement. The good news is she'll be back on next week and repeat the announcement. We had Aaron from the Source Show, and he was on talking about his how they record the show and some of his stuff. Some of this and that. I think we were talking about some mono applications, F-Spot, and a few other knickknacks on there. But fortunately, it's all gone as of right now. So what we're going to do is I'll give you the first 100 minutes of the show, or actually the opening of the show, and we have two interviews that we're going to have in there, and I'll preface those shortly. The first interview we'll be playing is with Marcel Gagne, and the second interview, which we didn't stream live on the show, is with Ian Murdoch. Both of those were recorded at the Desktop Linux Summit by our faithful listener Scott, which we thank him for, so you'll enjoy those. And then following that, I'll just append the pre-show stuff, which is usually on the AUG file. But it'll be on the MP3 too. Now, the pre-show stuff will be most likely not safe for work, and I'll let you guys know about that ahead of time. All right. Again, if anybody has a handle on somebody who recorded the show and still has it around from the stream, let me know so I can get it pieced together. But otherwise, thanks a lot, and hopefully things will work out better on episode 141.
The Linux Link Tech Show. The Linux Link Tech Show is on. Your link to the latest in GNU Linux and technology. An hour of insightful guests, tech info, and playful banter. Free software, free speech, open source, open mics. Live from the Linux Link Tech Show studio, here are your hosts, Dan, Alan, Pat, and Link. Link it up. Link it up and take it away. Take it away.
Yeah. And here we are. And you know what? Link is actually here today.
Special guest appearance by Link Fezzi.
On this wonderful show. And I just wanted to dedicate a song to Dan.
Because he is a dancing queen.
You know, it's really weird. On his ThinkPad, I can't figure out where the hell the speakers are.
They're in your butt.
Is that it? On the side? Oh, there it is. Go, Dan. Dance.
Shake it on the wrestling table.
I can't dance.
Oh, yeah, baby. Do it.
Dan's got his purple shorts on and his pink tutu.
Digging the Dan, the queen.
Dan, the queen.
So what's going on this week, fellas, now that we're all here in the studio?
Have you guys been listening to Floss?
Yes.
I know. I mean, I hear it in the morning between my teeth, but, you know.
No. Do you know Chris the Boner? Yeah.
Chris's Boner, what?
Have you?
No, I haven't. I haven't listened to it.
No.
Because I got to say, I was... should be recording this.
I was. You think?
I was... I was quite impressed with the Miguel de Acasa.
That was probably the best interview they've done so far.
I really liked that episode.
That's about the best one.
Miguel's he's an animated interviewer. He's a good dude. I don't think it would be. I think it would be difficult to not have a good interview.
He did a lot of his history with the Nolan Project and everything, and it was pretty cool.
I like that. I also like Novell's open audio. I like that.
Yeah, that's pretty good too.
I like that.
Sometimes it gets a little too corporate because they're so rah-rah about their products, but, you know, sometimes it's good. Like, the one on XGL was very good. I like that one. There were a couple other episodes that were really good.
And, you know, of course, there's Linux Reality and a lot of Linux Links. And
both really good podcasts.
Yes, both of them.
Good friends of the show.
Very, very, very good.
Oh, man, what's the other one?
Linux. Something.
This next question is worth 50 points tonight. Dan, what is the other one?
What is the other one? What is
it on
another
page, man? You're
yeah, no, I know it is. It is on my page.
I'm sorry, time is up.
Linux Cult. I like that. DistroWatch.
Disappoints of people because we don't pay attention to their stuff. And the Linux Australia stuff, which does happen, you know, it pops up in my...
And if you're ever looking to make a quick buck, listen to the Jack Attack
Linux,
and find out
Linux
how.
Reality.
And The Source came out with a new episode this week.
Yes, I saw that.
Pretty cool.
I didn't see it yet. I saw that it came
out. Aaron Newcomb and Company. Good job, guys.
And there's a couple other podcasts up there that I have not put up there yet. There's one from Hawaii and another one that they sent me.
The Hawaii one? Is that the guy who does In the Trenches, that guy? Or is it somebody else?
I'm not sure, but I've just been... It's been obnoxious that I haven't put it up there yet.
There's also a Fedora podcast.
Dan is
I'm
a
sure
punk.
There are, yeah, I got to find that one and put it up there.
Dan is a punk. Hey, dude, what the hell are we going to do? All four of us are here in the studio tonight. And, of course, you know what's supposed to happen tonight? A thunderstorm.
We're going to talk about...
It is tech show night.
We're going to talk about all the wonderful topics of SUSE and KDE.
SUSE.
Good stuff.
And
stuff.
I'm gonna get the ball rolling, or shall I?
Does Link want to talk about his newfound?
You can do
love
it any way you want.
His newfound, because he loves. Because I heard it.
Love.
It's like blasphemy.
Why is it blasphemy? I've always been into KDE. Why is it blasphemy?
Yeah, well, it's because KDE used to suck. That's why it was blasphemy.
I've always run KDE.
I know that's blasphemy
because I was the blasphemy.
Oh yeah, what are you running over there?
Fluxbox.
On what?
On Ubuntu?
Yeah, exactly. See, he's running Ubuntu on his Mac laptop, and I keep telling him he's supposed to be running Slackintosh.
Slackintosh.
See,
yes.
Now that's
but
right there. That's heresy.
Does Slackintosh suck?
No, Slackintosh is really cool. That you know, Ubuntu. That's heresy.
So, Link, why are you into KDE now? Right. What made you?
All right,
get into
here's the deal, right? I'm not.
He moved from XP to KDE.
Yeah, I'm not as much of an ass as most people think. Like
he's even more.
In order to I'm even more. In order to keep up with things, you know, I do go back and try different things on occasion. You know, when the mood strikes me and I have a few extra medicines. Not very often. But I don't even know what made the subject come up. I think I was talking to my buddy Ken, who's the if you've been paying attention to John Watson's new
endeavor.
Deal that's going on, new endeavor.
The endeavor
he's,
of the week.
Yeah, he's the my buddy Ken is the Linux newbie, right? On there on his new web blog that he's starting up. Anyway, we were talking about different window managers. And I was telling him about, you know, GNOME and KDE and stuff. No, I'm not. No. I don't have the time, right?
Yeah, no, I saw that come around and I'm just like he's trying to get the one for to do the gadgets and
right.
You know, I would say, yeah, I'd like to do the gadget one.
You know, where the hell are you going to get the gadgets from?
Yeah,
though?
Where am I going to get the gadgets
from? I would love to do that too. Hell yeah, if they're going to give them to me, shit.
It'll be like we're going to talk about the GP2X and then
today we're talking about the Sony PSP
and the GP2X and
here's a Nokia 770.
Yeah.
And here's a GP2X.
And it's
next
over here.
Next time I'll talk about the GP2X. Firmware upgrade. Woohoo.
But no, anyway, I was talking to Ken about window managers, and I, you know, rattled off a whole bunch of them, and he asked me what the differences are between them, and I told him, you know, the difference between a desktop environment and a window manager, and we were talking about GNOME, and he asked me what else there was out there, and I told him, well, the one that I really like is XFCE, but I said there's another one, KDE, and I haven't tried it in a long time.
Window
so,
maker.
Of course, I tried it.
I used that for quite a long time.
Yeah. But, you know, I figured I would try. I haven't tried it in a long time. And, you know, I remember giving the KDE people a lot of flack on the show and stuff like that. So, I'll try it.
We'll have to have them on again so you can apologize.
No, I'm not going to apologize because it's still not great yet, but it's coming along a long way.
Well, the good news is, man, the next release of KDE...
It's supposed to be even faster, right?
Art server is going bye-bye.
Good. Yes.
Yeah,
that's
for...
what
is it? Phenom?
Phonom.
But no, I had my Slackware laptop out, and of course the only thing that I had available on the Slackware laptop was XFCE or KDE. Right off the bat. So I just flipped it over to KDE, and it started right up really fast, and I was real impressed with that. So I played around with it a little bit here and a little bit there, and it works right along without any... You know, the biggest thing was, like, you know, how fast it started up. I remember distinctly, like, taking a nap the last time I tried
it.
Waiting
thing
for it,
bounces
yeah,
up
waiting
and
for
down
it to
the
start up.
And show, and then...
Exactly. But this time it started right up.
And all your audio.
Yeah, that's right. It started right up and did all its stuff, and I was real happy with that, so I decided that I would use it for a while and explore and play with it. And, you know, that's pretty much what I've been doing. And so far I've been pretty impressed with, you know, some exceptions, but not very many, you know. And that's that.
So now you're a KDE convert.
All right. We got to get you a... We got to get you a KDE t-shirt, man.
But you know what?
And a dress.
You know what? I tell you what. Contrasting and comparing KDE to the current implementation of GNOME, I think that the KDE guys have it. They're faster.
I might beg to differ, sir.
They're faster.
I might beg to differ.
Doesn't Conquer kick ass?
For me, here it is, right? The things I really, really like, if they could stick Conqueror and GNOME, they'd have it down.
Actually.
No, but I mean, like, natively. I like the Fish extension in there.
That's really nice.
That is freaking fantastic. I cannot believe that is not available everywhere. You know what I mean?
What?
Under any GUI, under any window manager.
What, Fish?
The Fish extension, right. That is awesome stuff. You know, I really am enjoying using that. That makes, you know, you're dragging and dropping crap across file systems remotely through SSH.
Big
is
spot,
pretty
isn't it?
Damn neat.
It's awesome.
You know? And then you can do FTP through it.
Yep.
And I like the way the KDE
Samba.
Handles Samba. Yes, I do. The one thing that I notice that it does not handle the way I like it.
Piss.
Oh, great. Is NFS.
Yeah.
Like SMB and SSH, the Fish stuff, and FTP and all that. You can do that right through Conqueror, and it pops it right up just like a beautiful thing. But you try and do that with an NFS share, and it barks and bitches at
you. I'm sure that'll change in the future.
Hopefully they'll fix that. But, you know, it's really cool. It's really cool. And I've been enjoying, like, the Fish and the Conqueror stuff so much. I think, you know, that's made it for me. When that wears off, who knows what I'll try next. But for right now, I'm really liking it.
Have you tried K3B for your CD burning?
Yeah, I did once. I had to make a CD at work, and I had to use K3B for it. It was a little alien to me because I've been using the one through Nautilus, mm-hmm. right? And this looks like almost like I remember, like, Nero to be.
It's better, though.
Yeah.
You know, but it's been, you know, it's been years and years since I've used Nero. I've been a Linux guy, right? And I've, you know, for the most part, I use, like, the command line stuff, and but this, you know, popped right up, and it did, I press a little button, and, you know,
Fish,
it's not that
beautiful.
Difficult to figure out, right? You just
Dan, do you collect pictures of Tub Girl here?
I was happy.
What?
You have a folder named Tub. Do you collect pictures of Tub Girl or something?
I forget what that was.
Yeah, and Kent on the IRC is saying this month's Linux Journal covers Fish and SSHFS.
Yes,
and that's,
did you get?
It's pretty cool. And I was going to try
this
SSHFS.
I got two of them.
Yeah,
actually.
I didn't get a copy.
I got an extra. I'll give you one. I got
right,
two.
They sent it to Pat.
They sent me two. For
Pat's been robbing your mailbox, man.
I thought I saw him sneaking around my house.
That was me.
Week. Yeah. Fish is great.
I tell you what. I thought that was the killer app for me right.
See,
there when
my,
I ran
my
into
My problem
that.
With... I really like Conqueror, but there's just some things that Conqueror doesn't do well. And
what, like rub your ass?
Browse the web.
Like, well, you know, like Flash. And
well, Conqueror as a file manager
is
really,
know,
really good.
It is great.
As a web browser, I still like
I don't use
Firefox
it
better.
It's a good fallback if, you know, if say, It never happens, but if Firefox completely like just craps out, you could fire off concrete.
And you know what? For how great K3B is, and it is a great application, or even Nautilus is great, I'm still 99% of my stuff I burn CD record.
Mm-hmm.
MKISO file system.
It's faster.
Record.
Right? The K3B thing and the Nautilus, they work really, really good. And this is like the stuff to give somebody, you know, if they. People have been for the longest time saying, yeah, Linux isn't ready for the desktop. And it's not something that I can give to my grandmother or my mother or my aunt, you know, whoever the hell that lives in, you know, in Cincinnati or whatever. Because they won't be able to do the stuff that they need to do on it. And right now, at this point in time, it really is bullshit. That's a bullshit lame excuse. There's no reason why you could not give either, you know, a system running either GNOME or KDE to, you know, your Aunt Sally in Vermont or whatever, and have her be able to get along just fine. As long as you can get her connected to the internet.
Conversations are pretty nice.
That's the hardest part.
As long as you can get them connected to the internet, they should be good to go. Should be no problems other than that.
IRC
whatsoever.
Client Conversation, that's a nice app.
I haven't used that yet. I like IRSSI myself. I'm really addicted.
Screen IRSSI.
Yeah.
KTorrent is nice. BitTorrent client.
I haven't tried that either. And I haven't tried the update manager thingy, the
I've
Ubuntu.
I've been using the Azurus, the Kubuntu package manager.
Yeah.
You mean the KDE
version? The KDE version of Synaptic?
I tried it, but I like Synaptic.
I haven't tried it yet.
I don't know, man. I'm command line when it comes to package management.
Well, you know, don't break your arm patting yourself on the back. No, I agree with you. You know what?
It's faster.
I do like Synaptic, but I spend more of my time doing apt-get than most anything.
Yeah.
Like, if I'm going to do a disk upgrade, I won't do it through Synaptic. Well, I think I did do it through Synaptic on this. Generally, I'll drop out of X and do
it. It's faster if you dump yourself out of X and do it.
I like it. And, you know, speaking of package managers, we could roll right into SUSE.
Oh, man. Let me start off.
Go ahead. Knock yourself out.
I installed it last Thursday, and it installed pretty easily. I had a little bit of a problem getting my printer installed. It seems that YAS wants to basically control everything. But I can get beyond that.
Did you get it installed?
Yes, I did.
Did it print for you outside of YAST?
Yeah, yeah.
Well, you said you had some problems.
Well, what happened was normally when I had a printer, I go through the KDE print manager.
Right.
And every other distro that works like a charm. But on the SUSE, it wants to do everything through YAST. So, okay, no big deal. I did it through YAST, got it working, not a big issue. I like KDE in SUSE. I think it's really nice. It's very fast. It's very responsive. The first negative that I noticed was this new package management system called Zen Updater. It's to keep your system up to date. It's a piece of shit, basically.
Is that the thing that pops the little window down
and basically,
says, you got stuff to update?
Basically, what happened was Novell wants to put that in their next release of SUSE Linux Enterprise Desktop, and they made the SUSE guys stick that in there at the last minute. And they weren't able to get everything working the way it's supposed to.
And you are talking about the little box that drops down.
Yes, the little button on the taskbar.
The button or the box?
It's a button.
I get a box that drops down and says there's updates ready.
It's the same thing, I think.
I mean, a whole box. Like, I'll come back the next day and there'll be a box.
Yeah, it's the same thing. It's Zen Updater. It's a piece of crap. Anyhow, I was talking to Trolls, and he suggested trying Smart, you know, the package management. I talked about it a little bit last week. I did that. I installed the packages for that. I went and I added all the different repositories that he mentioned. There's two main non-official repositories. There's the Guru repository and the Pac-Man repository. Pac-Man has nothing to do with Arch Linux. It's just a coincidence that they're named the same. Once I got those installed, I could pretty much install any application that I want. And Smart is very quick. I do it from the command line, and it's just as fast as apt-get. So, you know, Zen Updater, I think, is the weakest part of the whole thing, and a lot of people are bitching about it, you know. And I guess some people might have issues with YAST in general. I know Dan, I could see him chomping at the bit here. He doesn't like YAST, right, Dan?
It's not that I don't like YAST. I think for what it is...
It's that I don't like YAST.
It's really powerful, and it's not that I don't like it. It's just so
just that he doesn't
damn
like it.
Slow. It is so pokey and slow.
You know what the problem is? I bet you it's not slow. What happens is you see that one screen, And I bet you there's 20 things going on in the background. If there was like a little terminal window that opened up, you would see all the different processes running in the background. It just kind of
still
like,
wouldn't make
it. Just sits there. You wonder, is it hanging? You know, you don't know.
When you went to configure your printer, you click on the printer thing, and it starts loading all. You brings up that window, and you see it go through all these steps.
Right.
Then you got your printer. Then when you're done with it, it goes through all these steps.
Yeah,
and then it closes.
What
out.
I noticed about Yast is every time you do some package updates or anything, it runs like a script, and you see all these updates happening.
Oh my God, you're telling me.
Every time though, anytime you change the hardware, anytime
yes.
you do, if you go through Yast to do package management, it does that whole thing. Now when you use Smart, it doesn't do that.
Oh, something just crashed.
I'm trying to see if you have any sandwich shares on your network.
No, I don't. Wait,
You do have one.
I do actually, yeah,
but I can't get into it.
Right.
It's a horrible thing.
Yet.
Give me a moment.
It's locked down. I mean, used it for transferring files once.
It's a Dynabolic.
Dynabolic
is popping up with a sandwich.
Huh. Yes,
I also installed XGL just to check it out, and that installed pretty easily. I followed the how-to at Novell, and I was able to get it working pretty easily. It's still a little buggy, XGL, but for the most part it works. I did it under KDE, and it doesn't have the same functionality as GNOME does. It doesn't have all the bells and whistles, but for the most part, it's still there. You get the rotating cube effect. You get the wobbly windows. You get some nice transparent windows and panels. When you click on the panels and close them down, there's like little fades and stuff. It's nice. You know, it's eye candy. Will I leave it on? No. I shut it off after a couple days. That's just me. But some people like that stuff, and you can leave it on if you've got a good video card.
You know? Yeah.
Did you try XGL at all?
No, the system I'm running on it does not have a 3D.
You did what, a server install?
Well, it's on a server, but it does not have a 3D capable graphics card. When I tried to run a 3D, an OpenGL screensaver, just to check it out, that thing crawled.
Yeah, that thing that runs every time you run Yast is SUSE config. Trolls just mentioned it.
Right.
And it runs every time.
It runs when you run other things, too.
This changes everything.
Yeah. See, my installs of SUSE over the past 2 weeks. Actually, I grabbed the release candidate 3 of 10.1.
And then he grabbed his ass.
Yeah, it was about a week and a half before 10.1 officially was released. And that I talked about that last week and, you know, just wanted to get Java installed and it was such a pain in the ass.
You see, I had an easy time to get Java installed.
Well, see, now I went and...
You got to download the extra CD, and then what you do is you go back into Yast... You go into add-ons.
No, I didn't even download any of this. The only thing I downloaded was the boot ISO to do the network install.
So you tried doing everything over the net?
I did everything over the net. I didn't want to spend the time downloading the CDs. Probably wouldn't have mattered in the long run, you know, because it took me about at least a half a day to install it.
That's a long time, man.
But I just, you know, I just do. The installation process is slow as hell.
Really think so? I did the CDs and it took maybe 35 minutes, maybe?
Really?
Yeah.
Because it would start, it would go through and it would like probe the hardware. It would do this. And did you do a custom install or did you just do?
I just did the old plain vanilla.
I did a custom
install.
Maybe
that's the problem.
That was the problem. Because, you know, I chose the packages I wanted. And every time, like every step of the way, it would sit there and it would process shit. And it would just keep going and going and going. And then I'd have to wait. And then, you know, I got to the point where I was partitioning. Did you partition manually?
No, I did it all.
See, I partitioned manually. And then I had to wait till get the partitioner up you know, use the partitioning tool and then close out of the partitioning tool. And then it probed my hardware again. And then, you know, it asked you a couple of questions. And then I did the chosen packages I wanted.
Dan was probing his hardware.
Yeah. I chose the packages I wanted. And then it had to download like 2.5 gigabytes.
That's a lot, man.
Yeah. And that took a while.
See,
this was
a rather large probe.
I burned the CDs, man, and it moved pretty quickly to install.
So what happened was when I wanted to get Java installed, and I went and followed the directions to get Java installed, and the problem I kept having with all that was you read the directions on their site for doing it, but the repositories. You know, if you start going to the different repositories or the mirror list, like, stuff's not in the same spot in every mirror.
Yeah. Trolls just listed what the repository is for the non-open source stuff.
No, that's a repository for the non-open source
stuff. There's a bunch of mirrors, too, I know.
It's different. You know, you go to different mirrors, and it's in different places. Well, anyway, to make a long story even longer, I noticed for some reason, and when I went to add the guru and stuff like that, repositories, I noticed that the system said it was running 10.0, not 10.1, even though it was a 10.1 release candidate. So I figured, well, I'll just go in and change the repositories to 10.1. But no, you can't do that. You got to go and find a repository for 10.1.
See, you were running the release candidate. You know, there's still a little buggy.
Well, even that, you know, like an apt-get, and like in SUSE or in Arch, whatever. Arch, you just leave it at the, you know, current, and it'll just keep updating. But, you know, like, you know, in Ubuntu or whatever, you just change, like, hoary to breezy. You can't do that on SUSE.
Right.
You got to actually find the location,
and change from 10 to 10.1 or whatever.
Well, you have to make sure that the mirror you're using, that 10.1 is in that same location, but it wasn't. But when I found a mirror I wanted to use, and I shut off the old repository, turned on the new one, I did an update through the Yast manager, and my system ended up getting hosed.
What do you mean hosed?
It just like I did
hung?
It. Huh? No, it didn't. Well, it kind of like hung when I came back to it like the day later.
Sounds like a Gentoo install.
Yeah. So I rebooted it. It came up. X wasn't working. I reconfigured X, and just stuff wasn't working right. So I said, well, the hell with this. I went and I downloaded, I downloaded the NetBoot ISO for 10.1, and I did the install all over again. I did a fresh install.
And did that suck too?
No, it was just slow again. It was a pain in the ass finding a proper mirror to download the stuff from. You know, because when I did the NetBoot. So I set it up for that mirror, but after that, it was, you know, it was kind of pretty smooth. It did the downside to the network install is that it does have to download the installer
everything.
And go through and everything. Again, the installation program for me was still a bit pokey. Hardware detection was extremely slow. Not what I'm used to, you know, like Arch or Slackware, where it's just zip 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 right through, you know, in like 20 minutes you got a whole
Slackware.
20 minutes you're sitting there on your desktop,
do this Slackware,
you know, whatever you're doing,
just Slackware.
Slackware. They gave you a choice Slackware. Of desktop interfaces, right? You had KDE, you had GNOME.
Once you go,
then
Slack.
You had another choice, and you go to the other choices, basically Failsafe Terminal or something,
or Slackware,
or what was it? Text or minimal, and minimal wasn't specified, so it didn't seem like you could choose XFCE or anything else.
No,
like that.
There wasn't,
you know,
XFCE.
Whoopie-doo, you know, because that's easy to fix. I wasn't too impressed with the expert partitioner, but, you know, hey, that's just me. I'm used to doing FDisk or CFDisk, and you know. So if you're not choosing, like, a standard basic installation, it takes a really long time. And that
tree killer.
I was wondering, you know, I was looking around trying to. This is all recycled paper.
Dan's writing his notes on paper. It's so disgusting. It makes me want to just vomit.
Oh, look at
you
this.
Tree hugger.
Look
this
at him.
This was stuff people printed out and threw away, and I pulled out of the garbage.
Look
and
at him
on the back.
Look
of it.
At him. He's using. He's killing.
I was. I was trying to figure out why the library, the libog, was in GNOME and not in, you know, libraries or multimedia.
Me
but
sitting
hey,
over here, I'm a Vegemedian.
I don't know.
Vegemedian.
And after I finally got it going, and I put my user account in, I was surprised that once you get past a certain spot, it just puts you right into the system. It doesn't reboot or whatever. It didn't reboot for me. So it put me right into the system, right into my account that I created, which I didn't like. I don't remember seeing the box there to check not to check auto login, which auto logged in as my account.
I saw that with the workstation install.
Right, so I had to go hunting around for it. I was impressed with 10.1 GNOME.
I didn't even look at it.
That was really on the system that I was running on, which, you know, everything else is slow, but GNOME comes right up.
Why installing GNOME on a server install?
Huh? Why? I wasn't doing a server install.
I thought you did a server install.
It was on an old server that we don't use anymore.
Okay.
But it's, you know, I did the GNOME. Well, that was another interesting problem I had with the previous install. It's like I installed Apache, then I installed PHP. And mod PHP for Apache, and then it kept conflicting with something else, and it would like, well, you know, to resolve this dependency issue or conflict, remove Apache. But I wanted Apache, or ignore it, or, you know, it just got to be.
I've seen that. In all honesty, I've seen that in Debian-based systems too. Sometimes,
yeah, sometimes. But you know, GNOME was really snappy, really nice looking. I was kind of muffed that on ten, you had two panels on GNOME, one at the top, one at the bottom. But on 10.1, by default, you only had one at the bottom.
I like that better.
And I wanted the one on the top and one on the bottom, but they locked the panel. You actually had to go in there and unlock it before you can move it to the top. And, I'm trying to figure out why the hell it was locked. But, hey, maybe that's what usability says. So, you know, I created some new panels. I went in and I wanted to install Java, but for some reason, when I went to go to the repositories, I couldn't find Java in the 10 where they said, and if you follow the directions, it says go to this Java install, but it's for 10.0, mm-hmm. not 10.1, but Java is actually in the non-free repository.
What, the CD? I could have burned your copy and brought it if you had wanted it.
That doesn't matter. I got it installed.
Okay.
But that took a long time. You know, you find it. I don't like adding, you know, through the package management. I wasn't too pleased with how you add repositories.
You gotta do smart, man. Smart is really good. It's very AppGettish-like.
Right. Well,
AppGettish-like?
Yes.
AppGettish-like.
Like in if I'm gonna
sounds
install,
rather foreign.
All right,
if I'm gonna put a repository in Arch or
I'm gonna start up a Pat dictionary
or Debian, you know, or Ubuntu. I just pull
go
up that
the sources
file
list, yeah.
And just, you know, put the whole thing in there, yeah. with Yast or with SUSE's one. You got like four or five lines for each entry.
Well,
you got to mess around with.
Yeah, if you're going through the GUI, you got to add two or three different lines.
But I'm assuming that's the same way in. If there's probably some text file.
Yeah, you could do it. You could do it for a very command
but
line.
When I looked at it, it had like three or four lines for each entry. Like you had to put in the server and then the directory
and what kind of repository it is.
And then again, once again, you know, the mirrors, they say look in this location, but you got to dig around. You know, they got a SUSE directory, but then you realize, oh, there's an open SUSE directory. Then there's, you know, you just got to dig around. It wasn't as apparent and evident as I thought it was on the Debian side. But still, you know what? It was slick and it looked nice. And I fired up Evolution. I connected up with our GroupWise server, and that looked pretty cool. I was happy about that. But, you know, it's just for how nice it is, I'm just – Yast just drives me nuts.
My bottom line is on a workstation install, it's pretty nice. There's still little rough edges. I think they were very pressured to get it out as quickly as possible because they were a little late. You know, finishing, you know, releasing it. So I think they were under pressure from Novell to get it out as soon as possible. And I think they cut a few corners. I think the Xen updater really is the weak part of the whole thing. Overall, although it's a positive experience, I can not deal with Yast. I can, you know, the smart package management's pretty nice, and I've been using that, and I'm pretty happy with it. So I'm going to keep it on my workstation for a bit at least.
Yeah, I mean, I like it. I'm being nitpicky when I say it's slow compared to.
No, you're not being nitpicky. You're being honest.
I mean, because you know when you run in Slackware or Arch, it seems a lot faster. What's your problem now?
I think my network connection just dumped.
Yeah, mine did too.
You know what though? Yum is slow.
You know what that means? That means that we lost our IRC log.
Yast is slow.
I have it here.
Yast is slow, and SUSE.
You're gonna have to send it to me.
But Yum and Fedora Core is even slower, man. That is so freaking slow.
Well, you connected wirelessly.
It's dead, yep.
I wonder if somebody kicked out the wireless.
You've killed it, man.
It's dead, Jim. There's nothing.
So I'm going to keep it on. I'm going to try doing some video stuff with it. I downloaded a few applications. QDVD Author is actually in there by default in a repository. You have to compile a damn thing, Dan.
How about that, huh? Yeah, I'm missing like half the network.
Yeah, we're down. Are we still streaming?
No, we're still. I bet you somebody kicked the wireless access point over or the cord to it. I'll go down and check it out. I tried out Diva this week.
Oh, really? You got it to compile cleanly?
Yeah, it's not that hard.
But we'll have to talk about it when you come back after the interview. So, Alan, you get your Myth TV thing going?
Not yet. I'm having problems getting the IVTV drivers installed.
You going the Slack route again?
Yeah, I'm doing the Slack route again. Because I like
you're a masochist.
I like pain.
You're a masochist.
What about the not myth thing?
The not myth
is
really...
just like drop it in and it goes, right?
Yeah,
the problem is that it takes over the whole machine.
Pretty much. But what it is, it's...
Well, yeah, but I thought you were going to do like a...
that's geared to a dedicated box.
Right?
Well, it's going to be... Eventually, there's going to be a separate myth box. Although that's not happening for probably till the end of summer, this one I just wanted to get. I wanted to get upgraded. I got the new hard drive on it, so I wanted to get the latest version of Slack and everything on. Excuse me, because Fedora just wasn't doing it for me.
Yeah, I agree with that.
You know,
man.
I mean, it was good and everything worked, and you know I couldn't find any real faults with the exception of I couldn't get my NVIDIA driver to work.
Really? Mine installed without a hitch, man. I have to do a damn thing.
It said that installed, but it didn't. Every time I rebooted, it said that it couldn't load the module.
Really?
So, and I even tried it.
What kind of NVIDIA card do you have?
Off the top of my head, I don't remember. 4,000 something?
I have a GeForce 2 MX 440, which is pretty low end.
Yeah, I mean, it's nothing special.
Oh,
but,
look at
know,
that. I just got a yellow there thingy. Maybe we're going to start having access again.
Reboot? No.
Pull the wireless card and start it again. But, it, you know, everything worked on it, but it just, I don't know, it just didn't hold me to, I don't know. It didn't hold me, man. That's all I can say.
All right, that's where we lost everything up until that point. So I'll play our first interview that Scott did at the Desktop Linux Summit, and this is with Marcel Gagne. And here it is.
Now you have to invent some questions for you.
Yeah, I do. This is Scott Ricker from LXer.com. I'm interviewing Marcel Gagne. Gosh darn it, Gagne.
Don't worry about it.
Came across him by pure chance, giving the Ubuntu people a hard time.
I'm just doing my job, making it difficult for people to use Linux. No, wait, sorry, I'm just kidding.
Well, tell me what's the highlights for you so far for the past 2 days?
Well, I actually did the opening talk when I came in on Monday, mm-hmm. So that was actually a lot of fun. I was a little bit worried about how that was going to go over, partly because it's a 6.5-hour flight, and I figured, am I going to be in any condition whatsoever to talk? But I actually had a lot of fun up there. The people here have been really friendly, really responsive. This is the first Desktop Linux Summit that I've actually come to. I haven't been to any of the previous three that
you
came
and me
before
both.
This one. Yeah, but it's been a lot of fun. It's very casual. People are very relaxed. The Linspire people who are kind of hosting this thing have, quite honestly, been fantastic hosts.
Yeah, going out of their way.
Oh,
that's
yeah, going out
too.
Of their way. They've been really friendly. They've been really helpful.
Heather's been really nice. I got
oh, top notch. Absolutely top notch. And as much as you might think of it as, you know, I have to admit, at one point I thought, well, it's kind of a Linspire show, you know. I mean,
that's what I thought when I came. It's like it's going to be mostly Linspire.
But they're standing back. They're allowing everybody else to do their thing and to give their talk. And yesterday when I did mine, I was running Kubuntu on my notebook. You know, and nobody said, hey, you know, maybe you should be running Linspire. I mean, there was
right.
nothing of that sort. They seem to be truly trying to get the message of desktop Linux out there, regardless of whose desktop Linux we're talking about. So.
And that's what I've because you hear, you know, at first you hear, oh, Linspire, they sold out. They're talking to Microsoft about stuff and this and that. And you and I, we talked a moment ago about it, where it's like, hey, who doesn't want to be able to watch API or, you know, MPEGs on their computer?
Or play their MP3s,
you know. And do it legally.
Well, the average person who owns a PC, and, I mean, I want everybody to look at Linux as an alternative desktop, because quite frankly, let me rephrase that. I don't want them to look at it as an alternative desktop. I want it to look as their desktop.
Their desktop.
You know, it's a better product than what they currently have. That's a fact. It's a better product, but there are some barriers to them using that product. And for most people at home, those barriers are really simple. Can I play my MP3s? Can I watch the... Actually, I don't think AVIs are a problem, but MPEG files are a problem. You know, can I watch MPEG movies? And so, can I put a DVD and
right.
watch it?
And watch it.
You know, those are simple things that home users want to be able to do with their PC. Now, Linux provides them so many advantages that they don't have in the Windows world. Obviously, you know, superior software at a superior price. Hey, free doesn't get any better than that. They don't have to worry about viruses, spyware, malware, adware, all the other nasty wares that they have to worry about in the Windows world. It's a more robust operating system. There's a user community that, quite frankly, gives a damn.
Yes.
You know?
So right.
But if they can't play their DVDs and they can't listen to their MP3s, they're going to go, so, you know, what's wrong with this thing?
And that's what it seems to me, is that Linux, it gives you your functionality. I say functionality as in just your computer isn't going to break of its own accord.
Mm-hmm.
And it gives you your security, but then it's everything you do with that that doesn't immediately come with it. It's the watching the DVDs, listening to the
right.
MPEG.
And there are ways around that, even in non-commercial projects. You know, I'm calling Linspire in this case a commercial product, because it is.
It is.
You know, it's a commercial product. But there are things like, if you know, for people who are running Ubuntu, there's something called Easy Ubuntu out there, which, you know, is a simple little program. Actually, it's a simple little interface that lets them install all those things. Now, of course, depending on which country you live in, you know, there may be laws, you know, the U.S., anybody, but there may be laws that make it difficult for you to run these things, you know, and Marcel's making quote marks in the air, you know, legally.
Legally.
Legally. You know, but why shouldn't you be able to play your, you know, and Mac users have the same problem. They have to download a lame encoder if they want to use MP3 as opposed to the proprietary format.
Yeah.
I hear a train in the background.
Yeah.
But I actually, you know, I don't have any trouble with the idea that ATI, for instance, is distributing a proprietary driver, or that NVIDIA is distributing a proprietary driver to be able to play, to be able to properly use the 3D capabilities of their card under Linux.
Right.
I don't have a problem with that, because I think in the long run, this is all good for Linux. So, you know,
it's a matter of, you got the only thing Windows users really complain the most about has to do with what they want to do with their computer,
mm-hmm.
not how their computer works.
You know, I was listening to Jeffrey Moore today, who gave his talk about, you know, where desktop Linux fits and so forth, and I mean, he was a great speaker, by the way, but, you know, I kind of disagree with, I agree with some of the things he said, I disagree with some of the things he said, which is kind of normal, you know,
when you're everybody talking, liked everybody, you know, nobody'd have any friends.
Yeah, we did that too. That's an interesting way of putting it. But there were things here and there that made me think, you know, so what really does a person need a PC for anyway? I mean, let's be perfectly honest here.
Right.
The hell do you need a PC for? You know? I mean, you can write a letter longhand. We've always been able to write letters longhand. You don't have to instant message somebody. You can pick up a phone and talk to them. I don't even know why people do text messages on their cell phone.
Oh, I'm guilty of that.
Yeah, that's okay.
Oh.
But you know what I'm saying. I mean, I can pick up a phone and I can say, in 30 seconds, I can say, you know, what it takes you 2 minutes to type,
right.
you know, with a thumb on your phone.
10 minutes getting off and online in order to message.
Yeah, and all that sort of stuff. So, you know, the PC is not just a tool, but it's a cool gadget that lets you do a bunch of things in one place.
Exactly.
So it's kind of this really cool high-tech Swiss Army knife that you've got, you know, on your desk at home. You can do all these funky things with it. You know, yeah, I could go watch a movie over here. Yeah, I could go talk to somebody on the phone. But I can watch a movie, instant message, listen to music, you know, and do all those things at exactly the same time. And that's the sort of thing that a PC, you know, allows you to do. But because a PC allows you to do all those things, people have come to expect that they should be able to do all those
Isn't
things.
Isn't that how it's always been?
Yeah.
Come on.
Yeah, I mean, wasn't the World Wide Web here, you know, 50 years ago?
Yeah.
But nevertheless, it's here now, so I expect it to do everything that it does. And frankly, I don't see any reason why we shouldn't be able to do those things in Linux, because we actually can do those things. We can do them technically. There are no barriers. But, you know, there are patent barriers and DMCA barriers you know, every other stupid law that you can think of barriers. And yes, I'm going to use the word stupid law. Yesterday morning, I sort of went on a bit of a rant about patents. If you have an opportunity, check out, they did videos of all the talks. Check it out. I personally find actually, since I've mentioned Jeffrey Moore, he agreed today that patents are diseased, that the patent system is diseased. And I believe it is. I don't think that there's anything wrong with the idea behind the patent system originally, but there are...
The implementation.
Well, it's the implementation. It's gone totally, totally out of hand. And
it's fallen over on itself.
And software patents are totally, totally ridiculous, because there's nothing truly original or new. Everything is built on top of some other concept that somebody else built before. The whole standing on the shoulders of giants thing.
Said it before I did.
Yeah, that was part of the talk as well. And even that phrase, you know, it doesn't start with Isaac Newton. It's been said, you know,
a thousand years.
Yeah, it's been said for 1,000 years before that. You know, so. So the whole concept is totally ridiculous. And, of course, for an open-source company, for instance, to fight, an open-source company who doesn't make a whole hell of a lot of money, let's be totally honest, to fight a bad software patent, it costs you an average of $3 to $5 million to fight this. So the little guy is screwed from the beginning. Am I allowed to say that?
Yes.
The little guy doesn't stand a chance. I speculated, you know, during the talk, whether it's, you know, it's time for us to be able to sue the patent office. You know, if they allow something like that to go through and they destroy somebody's life, shouldn't there be some recourse?
Right.
You know?
Not in America, unfortunately. You can't
sue
the federal government in the United States.
You can't?
No.
Jeez.
It sucks. It's in the Constitution.
But, well, I didn't know that. Thanks for the education.
Yeah, too many history classes. What do you see? I mean, I guess two questions at once. What do you see as the biggest challenge outside of patents?
Mm-hmm.
And then what do you see as the greatest, you know, best opportunity coming? What do you see down the road a little bit?
Well, I actually honestly think that Linux is already a superior product to the, you know, other mainstream operating systems.
You're preaching
to the choir. Well, I know. But, you know, I still have to say it because it's true. I do believe that that's the case. So we have a superior product, but we have to get the message out there of, you know, how it is that we've got a superior product.
Right.
I was chatting with one of the vendors, you know, in the vendor room there about a strange idea, which was, we need something. You know how the dairy farmers have a milk marketing board?
Right.
You know, they have a marketing board that spreads the message of milk. You know, and this month, you know, the message that they'll have is it builds strong bones. The next month, they'll have Bessie the cow dancing with some
exactly.
break dancers, you know,
yeah.
or something like that. The next month, they'll have some. But the whole message is buy milk or buy milk-based products. That's the whole message. I almost feel like we need something like that, like the Linux marketing project, you know. Maybe
right.
that's what I'll call it. I was...
Get, you know, Linux.
Yeah, get Linux. Here's why. Get Linux. Here's why. Get Linux. Here's why. And you don't mention a single vendor. We don't have to mention vendors. We don't have to mention anything. There's an information site. Everybody sort of pools, you know, to keep this information site going and so forth. And I'm not talking about a community site.
Hmm.
I'm actually talking about, you know, something that's supported by the industry and by the community. Everybody's sort of involved in, you know, but...
Sort of like the most general of general sites you could think of, just a starting point?
Yeah, just a starting point. You know, contact your local, you know, this is why Linux is wonderful and so forth, but truly a marketing engine behind it to get the word out of why this is a really good alternative and why you should consider it. Because there are really, really good reasons. I mean, you know, security, stability, security, you know, inexpensive or free security.
Multi-user
security. Notice I keep going back to security. The whole, I mean, the problems with security on the current, you know, the current mainstream operating system. You know who I'm talking about when I say that, right? Costs. Security in there costs business billions of dollars a year. How much money do we want to throw away just because people don't know that there's a way, an easy way, to move away from a really, you know, from a product which, quite frankly, is infinitely inferior to what, you know, the people in there have to offer. So I think that's a challenge, you know. It's just, you know, keep telling people that it's cool. It's like...
bang on the drum.
Yeah, bang on the drum. I mean, I do a TV show a couple of times a month. I do a show called Call for Help with Leo Laporte.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he lets me come on the show and talk about Linux. And basically what I do on the show is I don't sit there and do this part, but I show people that they can do cool things with Linux. I show them how to use, you know, Amarok, you know, to handle their music and so forth. I show them how to use a stream, you know, a stream program to capture streaming audio from internet radio stations. I show them how to use Digicam, you know, to work with a digital camera and stuff like that. Just... Linux is cool. Linux is cool. You can do all those things with Linux. You know,
but that's the right approach, because you're not telling most non-Linux users, we'll call them, they don't care how the computer runs. They just want to know what can I do.
Mm-hmm.
And like you said, it comes with expectations now. It should do this. It should do this. It should do this.
Well, this marketing engine, you know, and I'm speculating wildly here. Obviously, nothing like this exists. You know, I know people will tell me that things like this exist, but it doesn't really, not in the way that I'm envisioning it.
Mm-hmm.
People are constantly, and we in the community, in the Linux community, and I'm talking the vendors, I'm talking, you know, the fans, let's call it, you know, the enthusiasts, and so we're constantly apologizing for Linux.
Right.
Well, you know, someday when it's able to do this, it'll do it. You know, it can do it now. You know,
sure.
We don't need, we have to stop apologizing for it. And Steve Jobs, you know, has a product that has, quite honestly, as many limitations as Linux does. You know, there's a bunch of hardware. It runs on less hardware. Well, I know now we can argue about MacTel, but, you know, this is early days for MacTel, so we'll see how that plays out in the long run. But there are hardware issues there. There are software issues that you still need to get a lame encoder if you want to do MP3s
right.
on Mac OS and so forth. But Steve Jobs never apologizes for Apple. You know, he's out there going, great product, cool hardware, cool software, buy it. You know, it's like... So, and he, you know, he and Apple, to their credit, you know, believe in what they've got. And I think we in the community, you know, we in the community do believe in this, but I think we have to sound like we believe in it. You know what I'm saying?
To have a concerted message.
Yeah.
I mean, and not that we all have to brainwash each other to say the same thing, but it's a matter of saying, you know, how about we all just quit apologizing and say, you know what, this product does kick ass.
Yeah.
And it is for you, and it can be customized for whatever you want to do, even if we haven't thought of it yet.
Yeah. Why? Because it's open source.
Because it's open source. Exactly. You can change it to do whatever your heart's desire.
Yeah.
So anything, anything really positive getting your gander that you think might be coming up? Or I guess he sort of answered both questions at once.
Yeah, I think I sort of did. Yeah. You know, I like I said, we've got a great product. There's some amazing, talented people working on this stuff, and
you got companies working together, which I think is really cool.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Well, companies, individuals, and so forth. I mean, I've been writing about this for, I guess, about 7 years now, writing about Linux and open source. I've been pushing Linux and open source for a lot longer than that, but officially writing about it for about 7 years. And you know what? At the risk of sounding hokey, it's been a privilege, you know. Working in this environment and working with the people that make this stuff real. So,
thank you for your time.
Thank you.
And
the second interview that Scott did was with Ian Murdoch at the Desktop Linux Summit. And without further ado, enjoy.
I'm just going to start at the top.
Okay.
So you still live in Fishers, Indiana?
Yeah, I do.
I have to ask because I lived in Warren and Huntington and Fort Wayne as a child.
So really?
Taking the 69
okay.
North.
That's right.
You'd end up in my old hood.
Yeah. Actually, my wife's family's from Fort Wayne. So it's...
Yeah, it's been a long time since I've been back there.
Yeah.
But
it hasn't changed much, I'm sure.
It has.
Although I don't know when you lived there, but I remember that at one point there was the mayor of Fort Wayne was named Harry Balls.
That was probably before I understood how funny that is. But
you'd think if you had a name like that, you would ask people to call you
Harold
or something,
right? Or you know, take the S off,
right?
Holy cow.
So anyway. Yeah.
So has your schedule completely, you know, been filled up and you're going from place to place since your new position? Or is it sort of taken in stride with what you were doing?
Well, I've always traveled a fair bit. And actually I've been, you know, in my bunker in Fishers, Indiana for the better part of the last several months because we've been working on... getting this new release of LSV out the door, and basically, you know, in a sense, tearing things down and building them back up, and you know, asking the basic questions and revisiting first principles, all the sorts of things you tend to do when you start in a new position. So yeah, now you know, we've got LSV 3.1 out the door. This point is when you know we go into. Evangelizing mode, I guess, for lack of a better term, where we've got the thing out there. Now the goal is, we've got the thing out there. We have all the distributions have signed on to support it. So we basically have something to sell now, which is the LSV as a target for developers.
That's what you mentioned in your talk, because you said it was to improve the Linux platform, but it is not... I'm trying to remember how you said it exactly. It's not, you don't make the standard, you find out what is the best practice and go with it and say, let's make that best practice work backwards and forwards. Is that correct?
The backwards and forwards stuff is a little different topic, but you know, the main issue here is typically, you know, a standards organization works when a set of companies, typically competing companies, come together and they say, you know, we need to break into this new market, we need to standardize some things. And so they're essentially creating a standard for themselves. So they can come in and basically define, this is what the standard looks like. And at the end of the day, they're all in a position to essentially take whatever the standards group builds and implement it. Now, it doesn't always work out that way because, you know, they're competing companies sometimes.
Change your mind.
Sometimes things go differently. The real difference with the the LSB is, it's, the LSB is as much an open source project as it is a standards organization. And so, you know, we're just filling a role in the open source community much the same way that any other open source project fills a role. And our role is basically to, you know, try to abstract this very diverse universe of Linux distributions and make it more something that's more akin to what the commercial ISVs are used to supporting, right. Windows, Unix, that kind of thing. So we can't come in and dictate, well, you know, we think there should be one desktop, so, you know, everyone start using GNOME or everyone start using KDE.
Right.
In large part, the standards are set by the distribution vendors. And so we spend most of our time following what choices the distribution vendors are making, and the distribution vendors are basically following what the you know, the market wants. Right, a lot of them ship two desktops because in terms of market acceptance, it's split down the middle. Right, so think about it that way. It's kind of halfway between an open source project and a standards organization. So, you know, it's a very different world we've got to operate pretty differently.
Yeah, because it's I guess it's much more heterogeneous than you know, say a Microsoft-based standards group where it is really only one thing it's got to adhere to.
Yeah. Well, and the thing about Microsoft is there doesn't even need to be a standards group. I mean, they can basically just create the platform and dictate it.
Right.
And, you know, that's really the end of the story. So, what we're trying to do is we're trying to capture this sort of Wild West, small pieces, loosely joined, decentralized community that creates Linux. Because, I mean, after all, there's no one central, you know, conductor calling the shots or deciding what
no
gets
Steve
worked on next.
No, go forth.
No, exactly. There's no Steve Jobs, no Bill Gates, no, you know, no even, no product manager even.
Right.
Right. And so the real goal here, the real challenge here is, can we capture what makes Linux what it is, which is this whole Wild West thing? And can we, this is the old computer science technique of adding a layer of abstraction, right? I mean, can we abstract away the complexity of the open source, you know, the Linux development process and present to the people out there that are interested in being a part of this community who aren't able or willing to immerse themselves in it in the same way that many of us are, a way to interface with the community.
They want to participate, but they don't know how.
They don't know how, or it's not. It's cost prohibitive for them to do so. I was just in a talk, Rob Enderle's talk. I don't know if you saw it, but he said, you know, whenever companies are looking to are evaluating whether or not to support another platform, the total cost of supporting their product is the square of the number of platforms that they have to support. Mm-hmm. Right? I mean, that's not a hard mathematics or anything, but it certainly, in my experience, holds true. And yeah, there's a benefit. Is there a benefit to supporting to Gentoo? Right? Well, yeah, because there are people out there, probably a lot of them, using Gentoo. Some subset of those people might pay you to if you ported your application to it. But when you factor in that sort of the exponential rise in cost, you've got to place your platform bets carefully. So you know that's the real challenge there.
So you really want to take it in so that instead of having to port their program 1,000 different times to 1,000 different distributions, they can create one, and it can go in all directions at once.
Yeah. Are there 1,000 distributions?
I mean, we're
certainly trending to that.
I can only imagine. I mean, if you go on DistroWatch and start counting,
yeah.
Gosh.
Yeah.
I picked that.
No, I know. I'm giving you that.
I'm afraid now.
What?
I'm afraid now. 1,000?
Yeah. No, that's the basic idea. And, you know, we're not saying this is the magic bullet, which means you'll be able to write once and run anywhere. I mean, it's more along the lines of, you know, if you're a major ISV, And for example, your Oracle. I mean, Oracle's sort of the canonical ISV this kind of discussion. You know, Oracle's got a lot at stake whenever it adds a platform. And, I mean, people are paying big money for the Oracle application. They're going to expect unbreakable Linux, right, which is the term they use, and they're going to expect a certain amount of support. And so, yeah, I mean, these kinds of ISVs are going to continue to certify directly to the big Linux platforms like Red Hat and Novell. I mean, that's in the LSB world, that doesn't really change. What does change is if there was a way for Oracle to, or any other large ISV, for that matter, to support the long tail of distributions. You know, if you're familiar with the term long tail, it's basically that, you know, if you think about a distribution curve of popularity, and you plot on one axis the number of products, and on the other axis the popularity or the number of customers and number of users. I mean, there's this sort of
takes a nice long slope down.
I can't think of the mathematical term for the curve. I'm blanking on it right now, but you know, at the high end of the curve, you've gone the Red Hat, Novell, and so forth. And down the curve, you tend to get to more specialized distributions. I mean, distributions targeted at the Extremaduran market in Spain, you know,
right.
Or targeted at point of sale devices, right? And you know, that's the real power of Linux is that it's open source, and so you can have this enormously long tail of specialized variants targeting, you know, any and all particular niches. But the real problem there is when you have this long tail effect. I mean, how do you throw the net over the collective thing? And the whole, you know, the whole idea behind the long tail phenomenon is the sum of all of these little guys is more interesting than the handful of big guys, right? And you can apply it to, you know, to all kinds of different markets, and it holds true. So the LSB for the big guys enables them to throw their net over all these little guys who they just literally, because of that exponential cost curve, they just wouldn't be able to afford to do that otherwise. And for the small ISVs, it is somewhat different from the Oracles of the world, who basically come in and say, you know, if you want us to support you, you have to be running this distribution, right? It's completely the opposite with the smaller ISVs. You know, they'll take any customer they can get.
Right.
And a large organization comes into the smaller ISVs and says, you know, we have standardized on this distribution, and you will support it, or we'll take our business elsewhere. And so, you know, the smaller ISVs are having to deal with, okay, how do I support, you know, if I've got N different customers, I may be supporting N different environments.
Yeah.
Same cost equation holds true. How do you support all those 8 environments?
And state of business.
and these guys are probably the least of, you know, between the big guys and the small guys, they're the least able to take on that additional cost, but they don't have any other choice. So we're not saying, you know, it's the magic bullet, write once, run anywhere. We're simply saying this gives you, you know, maybe it gets you 90%, 95% of the way there, but that's better than you're going to get. You're going to get 0% of the way there without it. And for a lot of ISVs, that's pretty compelling.
It is very compelling. I'd rather be a foot from the finish line than 26 miles.
Yeah. And that last foot is business opportunity, right?
And that comes down to that. That's on their shoulders in the first place.
That's right. I mean, the difference between supporting the LSB and supporting an LSB compliant product. You know, it's the devil's in the details, right?
Yeah.
How many cliches are there? The last 10% is 90% of the work. I mean,
right.
That's where the business opportunity lies in many cases such as this.
That's great. Well, I appreciate your time.
Yep.
I don't want to keep you. Thanks again for your time.
All right. You're welcome.
That about wraps it up for this actual show today. Again, lost at a bit bucking in the sky. But now here's the pre-show stuff, not safe for work, so you could either just turn it off now or continue enjoying. Thanks a lot, and you guys have a great day.
Yeah, baby.
Oh, sad day.
Yeah, baby.
A sad day.
You know what? I want to change that thing, though. I don't know where the hell
the
it is.
The thing with the thing.
The startup thing.
What startup thing?
I think it's...
Splash screen?
I don't know where... Yeah.
That's easy.
I can't remember where the hell it is.
Nah, you know what you do? It's the, you mean the startup? What it looks like when it starts up.
Yeah. System settings, right?
Yeah.
Something, something.
That little toolbar.
Appearance and themes, maybe?
It's not an, I don't think it's an appearance. There is an
appearance and themes, splash screen. That's
right.
What it is.
That's what it is.
That's the one I want. I want, like...
Can't hear you, Alan. Need some sound tests.
Hello, testing. One. I still have my Atari 2600 game console set
that
up in our
right
family
standard,
room.
Alan is... Alan, can you bump yourself up just a hair? You're a little lower than everybody else. Okay, that's good. Who are we talking to tonight?
Who are we talking to tonight? Is that better?
Yeah.
Okay.
Maria Winslow.
How are we talking to them?
She's dialing at the Scott, Astros, rather.
Uh-huh.
Did anybody read her stuff? Because, like...
I asked her
I
asked her for a book a long time ago, and she said she would probably get us one, but she never sent anything. So.
Well, like, what the hell are we talking to over there? I mean, what are we going to do? Ask, yeah. You know, we never read your book. What the hell is it about?
It's about getting your manager, convincing your manager to try open source software.
Well, it makes it awful hard for us to comment on how wonderful
She's also written for the Free Software Foundation magazine and a couple different websites she's written for. Dave wants a toss salad.
Have you guys tried Gizmo yet?
No.
No.
I really like Gizmos.
You are currently the only person in this conference.
You know what? I'll call somebody just to do a sound level check.
There we go. That's prettier.
Hello. I think that line has to come down.
What line?
The asterisk line.
Wait. You don't need to mess with me. Who is this?
Who do you think it is?
How you doing tonight?
I'm fine. How are you?
We got to schedule you to come back on the show because we got important things to talk to you about.
Really?
Yeah, about what you did this past week.
What did I do this past week?
What did you do?
Sitting in the dining room for one.
What, Nydia's computer?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So whenever you want to come on.
I'll come on tonight if you want.
All right, we'll do it then.
Well, after a later part of the show, after I put the kids to bed.
All right, then it's going to have to be around 10.
Okay.
Don't go to bed.
Oh, I will try not to.
All right, thank you.
All right.
I'd like to schedule some fun time with you, too.
Whee!
With some extracurricular activities.
You know, let's talk about that another time, okay?
Okay.
Why live on, live
mean,
on the stream?
When you don't have three other bozos on the phone with you?
And the stream?
Maybe, yeah. That might work for some people. For me, not so much.
And you can send the dog up to pee on the floor again.
No,
please don't.
Yes.
Is it smelly up there? I noticed that last night.
I'm going to have to either rip out this carpet or I'm going to have to scrub it down again because somehow she's getting in here.
All right. Must
be when I'm at work and you're at home.
Yeah, because I'm home so much.
That's it.
Wait, you take me to work and you pick me up. I'm not ever here when you're not here.
Then something must be going wrong. All right, thank you.
All right, honey.
We'll talk to you around 10. She hung up on me. I wanted to hang up on her.
You are currently...
No, that was better than it was last week. All right, last week, we were loud enough that we were pushing this thing into overdrive, and that's what was clipping everybody off. That's when it gets when everybody's voice starts sounding really, like, wishy-washy.
I thought that was just Skype.
Well, that's partial, but when this thing gets when you start pushing it past zero, it just automatically cuts everybody off. It backs it down to where it thinks it should be, and that's why everybody starts getting that washy sound to it.
I like the computer voice effect.
Well, if we could figure out what knobs to turn to make that.
I think that's just because you're losing packets of data.
Well, yeah, when it finally gets out, yeah.
Alan's playing with his knobs? What?
I'm controlling my knobs.
No. Stank Dog's back on BinRev?
Yeah, you didn't hear about that?
I had my head up my ass for the past.
Black Ratchet is getting married, so he's going to lay low for a while. And then Droops is going to have a kid, so he'll disappear for about a year.
He'll disappear for about 13 years is what he'll disappear for. I couldn't sleep at all last night. Do, 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 do.
Oh, Pat, I got to go grab that song that you had talked about last week. Oh, okay. Oh, we didn't do a sound check with Pat. Go ahead, Pat.
What's happening? Check 1-2, 1-2, check, check, check.
He sounds
check,
fine.
Check.
According to meters, he's fine too, but nobody will hear him.
Nobody will hear me speaking.
I think it's all psychosomatic. That's what it is. Nobody wants to hear you, Pat. That's what it is.
Are we pushing out to the stream yet or no?
Yeah, we should be.
Okay. All right. Why the fuck am I always having a problem with
this? Ah, the F-bombs. Not even the show's not even starting. He's dropping.
And it will continue until I get the damn thing to work.
Dude, I'm running KDE over here and my shit's working. I'm impressed.
Yeah, well, for some reason mine is like idiotic anymore. Does it like me? File not found. All right, what am I typing wrong?
Oh, listen, guys.
That's Incas Deadwood, right?
Yes.
Marcy, our...
No, we're not.
From Peanuts?
Our contact from O'Reilly Publishing for the Lug wants to know if we're interested in interviewing Kyle Rankin.
What do you write?
He sounds familiar.
He's the author of Nopix Hacks, Linux Multimedia Hacks, and the upcoming Ubuntu Hacks.
Sounds cool.
Yeah, you guys can take whoever wants to read it next. There's a copy of Nopix Hacks right over there.
Is it really? Oh, yes. I would like to see that, actually.
So you can take it and read it. I read it.
That,
it was
that would
cool.
be why he sounds familiar to you, because you just read his book.
Yes. Yeah. It's a good book.
But yeah, she wanted to know if we're interested in interviewing him, but we don't have any time open until like July.
Right?
Do you think there's any chance we can get him on maybe for a short snippet interview sometime before then? Because I guess Ubuntu Hacks is coming out June.
Ubuntu's coming out.
No, Ubuntu Hacks, the book. It's coming out in June, I think.
Ubuntu the Distro is coming out.
Yeah, I know. And I'd like to...
Yeah, but Ubuntu sucks and nobody likes
get him
it.
On there.
You're going to tell that to Mark Shuttleworth?
He can talk his book
yeah,
up before...
Yeah, when's he on? Because I'm going to tell him...
He's in 2 weeks.
Yeah, good.
Then we can give
him
shit.
That's a pre-recorded interview, by the way, so we got to...
Yeah, well, you know
it's
what?
It's pre-recorded.
It's going to be pre-recorded.
I'm going
to
get on
Why?
Top
when
of that.
Why? When we got to talk to him?
I will not stand for that crappy Ubuntu garbage.
He's based in London, I think, so...
So we're going to have to, well, we got to get up at 4 o'clock in the morning.
No,
no. What the fuck?
It's going to be like in the afternoon.
Hey, Dan, are we streaming?
We're supposed to be.
Okay.
I think we are. It says we're connected. Are we streaming? How does the audience say?
I get weird.
Survey says.
You guys hear us out there?
I get file not found. But
you guys
the
on, the
like
end, on the stream there? Hello? Hello? Hello?
No.
Anyone? 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 Bueller? Bueller, 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 Bueller.
Ferris.
What am I supposed to be streaming to?
The internet, Dan.
The internet?
Trust me on this. You're supposed to be streaming to the internet.
It's that button, not the other one. he never gets
TLLTS
the button.
TLLTS or Tech Show? I can't remember.
I thought it was TLLTS. I could be wrong.
I have it as...
I could be crazy. But I just might be the lunatic you're looking for. Turn out the lights.
Don't stop to save me.
It says we're streaming. Does that say www... /TLLTS?
It'd say...
Up
where? Up. Whereabouts? It says www:8000... /TLLTS.
Yeah.
That's what it says.
Hello?
Link may be wrong. I may be lazy.
You may be wrong for all I know, but you may be right.
It may be long, or Link may be crazy.
Probably.
I'm stuck on pre-buffering, so.
Is that what you call it now?
Yeah.
Pull your pants back up.
There we go.
Apparently they cannot hear us because no one has responded to
them. May be right.
There it is.
It may
we're
be
streaming.
Wrong.
It just started.
There we go.
Or Link may be crazy.
Probably.
I think you just hit the button.
I'm stuck on Prebo.
Pat may be wrong. Link's ass may be lazy. Oh, come on, Link. Give me the goods.
Yeah, baby.
Tell me about it.
We're into dance singing right now, so.
Don't. Don't play hard to get. Don't play hard to get.
Yeah, baby.
I have beans for dinner tonight.
Lots oh, yeah.
Yeah, we're all going to pitch in and get you the flashlight flat pad.
Yeah, that's funny.
Oh, why am I in there? Ooh, did everybody update their... did everybody update their Apaches and PHPs? Or Apache and Mod SSL?
Not yet.
Maybe.
When did that come out?
About a week and a half ago.
Okay, yeah, I did.
Probably then.
I did Patches over the weekend.
Patches the cat.
Patches the dog.
Patches the dog. My butt, my back. Did I ask if you guys tried Gizmo yet?
Yes, I did.
I'm going to ask again.
We had this conversation 5 minutes ago.
Did you ask?
I don't know. That's why I'm asking. Did I ask? Oh, crap. I got to go downstairs and get my Sousa notes.
You know where I got my notes, man? Right here.
Yeah. I got your notes right here.
Yeah, I got your nuts right here, too, huh?
Watch out, man. Oh, yes.
No, I really, really hate it when I completely forget
your to-do list.
Some of my shit. Well, I thought I had put a link on there on the to-do list to give you. So that you could get both your touchpad and an external mouse working.
Oh, yeah.
I found one that has the perfect setup, like the one that I use all the time, and I bookmarked it. Only, apparently, I didn't bookmark it on my laptop or copy it to my to-do link, you know, list.
That's okay. I've gone this long.
It's a good thing I numbered my note pages here. So I wouldn't have to scramble around.
Yeah.
Trying to figure out what was the first page.
Yeah. Now, how come you're taking these notes here on paper? Was you fucking tree killer, you? Tree killer!
Aren't you using Google
paper?
Scrap paper?
Tree killer.
Aren't you using Google Notes yet?
No.
Google Notes?
Google
well,
Notes.
No, I wasn't.
Do they really have a Google Notes?
Yeah, if you go into their lab.
Where I was working on the Sousa machine, I didn't have access to another machine right next to it. And I was too lazy to bring my laptop over.
Uh-huh.
Okay. Let's just see. Yeah, they give you like a little applet. Although I don't have it loaded over here. That you can put on the bottom of your web browser.
Oh.
And then when you highlight something, you right-click on it, and it'll send it over to their notes page. Their note page, excuse me. I guess if I'm going to go into Google, I really do have to, like, sign in with the proper name, right?
Probably.
Although.
Why is somebody asking if the stream's up? Of course the stream's up. Bastards.
Up. Yeah, should be up now.
Mm-hmm. When is the user day calls going to be? Never.
Oh, man. What the fuck? Gmail, you're killing me. You're killing me here.
Never.
Waiting for.
Arg.
Arg?
Arg. It gets all quiet. This is when you sit there and just do arg and hear typing. Arg and typing. That's when we get the hate mail of the people going, well, you just sit there.
The show hasn't started yet, so freaking fuck off.
Yeah, that's the attitude I like right there. See, now everybody sends me hate mails and nasty grams because I got a bad attitude. Now it's Pat's turn. Go do it, Pat.
Fuck off. I'm going to paint my hair blue.
Yeah, that's right. Blue. No, don't paint your hair blue and then come here because Alan will give you, you know, start giving you funny looks. especially if you're a large-breasted Asian chick. With blue hair.
And magic powers.
And magic powers.
And magic powers. We need the magic power
and
part
magic
of it.
Powers.
Or a large-breasted Asian male with magic powers.
No. I'm definitely. All right.
I see your wand is as big as mine.
The Swartz is with you. All right. Thirsty Thursday. Next Thursday. Cigars International.
Ooh.
Stop by for a complimentary cigar, free samples of delicious microbrewed beers,
and a blowjob from Alan
with friends.
And a Hummer from Alan. What is that? Oh, you're playing that. Wait, what is that? Oh, is that, yeah, that's a fun game, isn't it?
Yes, it is.
That is a lot of fun.
That's a killing thing.
It's an addicting game. We'll have to review that on Lager.
Speaking of Lager. What the fuck?
But anyways, that's next Thursday. And there was something.
That might be something.
There was something this Friday, yeah. And I have to find the card. I got a card for something in the mail.
You got a card for something in the mail?
Yeah, I forget exactly what it was. It was an event at one of these guys, but I can't remember which. Which place it was. I think my net access went to hell here again.
You know what's pissing me off? I think either my wife or my kid is on the internet at my house, and I can't having a hard time getting mail off of my server. So I'm probably going to have to go in there and make a few quick adjustments to my my IP tables
to kick them all off, yeah.
so that their connection from their, you know, the computer in the other room just doesn't seem to go to the internet anymore.
What the hell is that called?
Bastard operator from hell, eat your fucking
barrage.
Heart out.
Barrage. How the hell do you spell that?
BARRAGE.
Yeah, okay, that looks better than the way I was spelling it.
You gotta go get that from Pat's favorite website there, that poundmeanias.com.
Poundmeanias.com.
That's Dan's site.
I turned Pat onto it.
No, Dan's favorite site is ipoundyouintheass.com.
Oh, look at this site. This was up before you guys showed up. We were talking about it before.
Sure.
This is the Red Roy Butt Plug Extra Large Challenge.
Oh, dude, man.
Butt plug?
Look at it, man. It's bigger.
Only
it's,
Dan would have this
crap. It's bigger
crap
than
up
a peanut
it.
Butter jar.
What in the hell are you looking for, Dan, over here?
You would have to have looked at the IRC chat about an hour and a half ago when they were talking about Google Trends.
Okay. How did you get from Google Trends to a giant red butt plug the size of my daughter?
extra large challenge butt plug from Dr. No, go back to that. I was reading it.
Oh, well, here.
Butt plug?
Oh, no. No, Alan's all interested.
Oh, I'm sorry.
A human-sized butt plug.
I'm trying to look at something here.
This extra large challenge butt plug from Doc Johnson is big. Big as in it towers over you like this, some kind of pagan statue, casting forth an aura that demands an awe and respect. Will this thing ever fit in your ass? Or the ass of anyone you know? Unlikely, but it's impressive.
Unlikely.
And terrifying.
Terrifying. It's like it's like the size of a giant red plastic Christmas tree.
Yeah. I'm guessing that with tons of practice and patience, you could actually get this sucker all the way into your rectum, but you won't find me trying it anytime soon. In the picture,
that's
you can see
crazy.
This extra large butt plug resting serenely next to a jar of peanut butter. Ay. So, yes, this butt plug is as big as your head.
You know what? Hey, I know some office workers who have their head up their ass all the time.
And this would be
and
perfect.
Maybe they use that so that it fits better, you know?
It could be. It's got a semi-squishy core sheathed in red rubber.
They pull that ready out so that,
lube
you know,
up and it, strike terror into the feeble them, hearts of anyone or anything.
They keep that in there when their ass isn't actually up there.
And where's Tech Wizard tonight?
This is like great writing here. Ready to lube up and strike terror into the feeble hearts of anything or anyone you have bound to your bedpost tonight.
Alan, you're really into that.
I just love reading it. I thought that was great. Okay, I'm sorry. I'll be
done now?
No.
This is crazy, man.
I forget what the heck I was going to go do. I had a reason for coming over here.
I've got a reason for
say 29. Living.
In fact, you know, speaking of that head-sized butt plug, I just told somebody... No, seriously. I just told somebody a couple of days ago that I asked them if they had an operation that they needed yet, and they said, "What operation?" I said, "They want to pull your head out of your ass." So
it's like that picture.
It's
know?
Like poetic justice or something. You know?
You should show them the picture.
Oh, I know what I want to do.
I should just paint their head red.
Well, there's Tech Wizard. He's in Indiana, man.
Oh, okay, because I didn't see him right now.
Back home in Indiana.
We got a great big convoy. Nobody else knows the rest of this.
Convoy.
I think there was some other lyrics involved in it.
And none of us want to really remember them.
No, I do remember it, and that's
across
the problem.
USA,
that's the problem. That's right.
We got a great big convoy.
I was born in 1970, you know? I mean, I heard all of those 70s
late 70s.
Songs.
Right, late 70s?
Yep. I remember
too much
it.
Either way.
Alan's got a butt plug convoy.
Although I will have to say that ABBA was cool. All right. You guys can say whatever you want. They were cool.
Oh, wait, you want to hear a song that destroyed all of that? Destroyed right, the disco era?
Hold on. Like majorly
see if you
pushing
could, this thing. See if you could pick this song out, Link.
What?
Hold on, I'll play this song for you. It's the song that destroyed the disco era. No, 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 no.
I think I might have an idea what he's talking about.
This is, well, it's not just a song.
Was it a song, man? It was it's way of life. It was a lifestyle.
Here it is. Let's see if.
No. I'm not even going to put it on headphones over this. I see it over here. And you have it on a playlist. That's the frightening part there, Dan.
Dan's got a very questionable music selection, man.
Yeah.
What are you talking about?
We go from Alice Cooper to Meatloaf to Blue Oyster Cult. I missed the last one there.
Hold on.
To this. If it ever works.
Wait, I gotta... Hold on.
We got a butt plug convoy.
What the heck?
It's 8:31, Dan.
It's dead, Jim.
Just an FYI.
I know, we're getting there. Patience. I gotta... Because for some reason now VLC's not working, I gotta go fix that afterwards. Here we go. Here we go. Remember this?
A place where nobody dares. What is that, Xanadu?
Exactly.
Yeah,
you can turn it off.
That's pretty gay, man.
And remember, this is on Dan's playlist. He can email you the rest of the Eagle.
You know what he listens to that? When he's roller skating in his purple
tights. Wait.
His purple shorts and pink leg warmers.
That is classic music for you right there.
There you go.
See, Dan, there you go. Oh, yeah. All I gotta do for this is just plug my USB in.
Hello.
Hello?
Hello.
Hello.
Alright. You know what? I might have
I keep hearing a lot of binging, you know. Bing, bing, bing.
Ding, dong.
Bing, 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 bing. Who the hell are you calling?
He's bothering his wife again.
I want to make sure to... Okay. All right. We better start the show.
Yeah, that's a good idea.
Oh, you know what? Crap.
Crap. What?
I got to go... I'm too busy dicking around with Xanadu.
We know it's important in Dan's life.
Now we are here in Xanadu. Now that you're near, now that you're here, now that I'm near.
And he knows the freaking words, too.
You know what? That came out, I was like 6 or 7 years old.
I don't care, but you were still too,
and I liked it, the movie. Because I did. I did it when I was 6 or 7 years old.
Downstairs, he's got, he's got a DVD.
He's got a DVD.
Got the extended version.
The director's cut.
Yeah.
Damn it. There we go. I'm Ben Rev. Ah, makes it extra gay that he knows the lyrics.
Ready to start the show?
Only turn down the volume.
Show.
Oh, yeah.
Show.
Hold on. Let me put down. All right, ready? Here we go. 1, 2, 3.
Do it.
Ah! It's Og 1, 2, 3 now. Not Og 3, 1, 3, 2. There we go.
5, 4, 3, 2, 1.